And yet, the same thing that the angel said to them is something that he could say to us. Why are you standing around? He's coming back. Everything that we're going to talk about this morning, everything that we're going to see that the Scriptures say about the second coming of Christ, they describe something that you will see. All of those amazing stories in the Bible might be something you wished you could have seen, but the things we're going to talk about, you're going to see. You're going to see it. You're going to watch Him come back. Whether you're alive or dead, you're going to see it. Keep that in mind. The second coming of Christ is going to happen. The Lord will return someday. And we're going to look at a lot of passages this morning. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each passage. I'm just going to go through them quickly and show you just how much the New Testament says about the second coming of Christ. One of the passages that we're going to look at is here in 2 Thessalonians 1. Verses 7 and 8, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord. He will be revealed. The parousia, the revealing, the coming of the Lord in which He will be shown. That's what it means, revealed. You're going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to happen. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes. When He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day. There's a day. It's coming. And every day that passes, it gets closer. Fixed. It's already arranged. And when He comes, there's going to be some terrible things that are going to happen to some people. And we're going to talk about those in a moment. But I want you to notice what this says, that He will come to be glorified among His saints. It's not a maybe. It's not a question of if. It's when. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 and 8. And a lot of times these statements about the Lord's coming are just kind of thrown in there. They're just kind of slipped into something where an apostle or one of the apostles or the prophets are just talking about something in general and just mentions the fact that the Lord's going to come again. For instance, the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the parousia, the revelation of Jesus, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a day coming, the day of the Lord. And He will be revealed. 1 Corinthians, again, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And we took the Lord's Supper this morning. And we thought about and remembered the sacrifice of Jesus. And we're going to keep doing that. We'll do that on the first day of every week until He comes. And He will. First Timothy 6, 14 and 15, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And man, won't that be a day when the Lord comes? Need to be ready for that day. It'll be an amazing day. It'll happen at the proper time. I'm not going to talk about when this morning. I'll talk about that next week. I'll keep you on tenterhooks all week long wondering about when the Lord's going to come again, and you'll have to wait till next week to find out. Unless, of course, He comes before next week. Then you won't have to wonder anymore, will you? But it will happen at the proper time. There's a proper time. The Lord has established that time. It's in His counsel, not mine. But we'll talk about that next week. Titus 2 and verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking for. I'm looking for that. Are you looking for that? What's going to happen when the Lord comes? Well, there's a lot of things that are going to happen on that day. And I got to tell you, when that day comes and when you see the Lord coming, whatever you got going on, whatever you've been doing, that's all going to come to a screeching halt. And this is what's going to happen. The dead will rise. It's the first thing that's going to happen. Now, I just can't even imagine what that's going to look like. But that will be awesome. There's going to be some noise, and there's going to be some shaking, and there's going to be tombs and graves opened up, and the dead are going to rise. And it's not going to be some like scary, spooky, kind of like zombie kind of thing. We're talking about something fantastic and amazing and glorious. But it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that Christ has been raised from the dead. And in consequence of His victory over death, this is what's going to happen. The first fruits of those who are asleep, for since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at His coming. When He comes, the dead will rise. And if I die before He comes again, that'll be me. If you die before He comes again, that'll be you. You will rise from your grave. That's going to happen. It's going to happen as surely as Christ has risen from the grave. He's the first. We're all second. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This is what's going to happen. And it'll be amazing. It'll be fantastic. And I don't know how we'll be changed. I don't know what we'll look like. But we will be glorious, and we will be powerful. And our bodies will be transformed into something that is unimaginable, eternal, heavenly, glorious. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen at the last trumpet. And that trumpet, it'll be loud and it'll be glaring and it will catch everybody's attention and everybody will look up and say, "What is that?" And they will see the dead rising up. When I was a kid, we lived near a railroad track, just like I do now. And every once in a while, just out of the blue, that train horn will just hit like that. It gets your attention. It what? And you know, being a fellow who's raised in the church and taught to think about that last trumpet, it always kind of made me think. Like, is that it? Well, you ought to be thinking about that trumpet. We all should, shouldn't we? It's kind of Paul's point, is to get us thinking about that trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. First thing is going to happen. Now, I know there's a lot of people who try to split all of these things up into different events, and they're not. They're the same event, and it's pretty obvious from the way that it's described. It's the day. It's the day the Lord comes. It's the day the trumpet will sound. It's the day the dead will rise up. It's the second coming. And the dead shall rise up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And that's what's going to happen when the Lord comes. Come, and the dead will rise. And those of us who are in Christ will rise up with them. And we'll join them and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And we'll go to be with the Lord forever. And that's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen when the Lord comes. John 5, 28, 29. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Now, there's an hour. An hour, a day. A day and an hour. And on that day and in that hour, all of the dead shall rise. All of them. Now, for some of them, those who are in the Lord, it will be a wonderful, pleasant, beautiful experience. But for others, not so much. But all of this will be happening at the same time. There's not one resurrection here and another later and some raised here and some raised there. All of the dead shall rise in that one hour. The Lord shall come, the trumpet shall sound, and all of the dead shall rise. And what will happen then is that we will all be judged. There will be a judgment. And that's the part of this whole exercise that we need to be prepared for. Because He is coming. He's coming. And there will be judgment when He comes. Matthew 25 describes it in detail. And among other things, it says in verse 31, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." There's going to be a separation. Acts 17, verse 31, "Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." Our judge will come, and He will judge us. And He will judge us on the day when He comes. That's all going to happen on the same day. And that day is fixed, my friend. And it's getting closer. Every day brings it closer. Because it's fixed. It's not sliding. It's not maybe then, maybe now. It's fixed. And those who are in Christ will be saved, and everyone else will be lost. We've already read this verse, John 5, 28 and 29. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. And that's the way a lot of people want to look at it. They want to look at judgment as being kind of a generic decision about the goodness or badness of your life. You know, if you were mostly a good person or mostly a bad person. But this isn't the only thing that tells us about the kind of judgments that are going to be made and the basis upon which those judgments will be made. Because here's something that's more pertinent. Matthew 25, 34. "When the king will say to those Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, this is a real distinction here. This is a real dividing. And there's not a graduated scale. Either you go into heaven or you go into hell. That is the judgment that's going to make on the day the Lord comes again. There's not going to be some kind of second chance where you say, okay, now I see you're serious. Now I understand that this is for real. Give me a chance and I'll work these things out. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The judgment is going to be made on that day. The day is fixed. And when he comes, there's going to be a separation that's made. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now that sounds terrifying. Dealing out retribution, doesn't it? It should sound terrifying. But who? Who are we talking about? We're talking about really bad people? We're talking about the worst people? We're talking about just the people who everybody agrees ought to go to hell? Well, you need to read these words and read them carefully. Those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now you might say, well, just because a person doesn't obey the gospel, that doesn't mean he deserves to experience this retribution, fiery ordeal. He doesn't deserve that. That may be your opinion, but here's the little tricky thing about all this. You're not the judge. You don't get to decide that. Jesus does. And this is the Jesus who came to this world and did everything he could to show us the way. And this is the Jesus who died on the cross to bear your sins so that you can escape this judgment. And what he asks you to do is to believe in him and obey the gospel. That's what he asks you to do. Now, if you decline to do that, and he comes back and he judges you, you don't think he has the right to do that? Of course he does. And he will. He will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel. He will do that because it says he will do that. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that he won't. Going on, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. They will pay those who have not obeyed the gospel. They will pay. And if you're thinking, well, somebody should have told me this. Well, somebody is telling you. I'm telling you. They will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. But here's the positive side of the story. Here's the part that I'm hoping for, that I live for, that we as Christians are here talking about and thinking about and anticipating and looking forward to, because we want to be glorified. We want to be His saints. I talked about the fact that being a Christian is to be a saint, to be sanctified, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you obey the gospel. You're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You become a saint because we want to be ready when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. And that's why we're believers. That's why we've embraced the gospel. Because He's coming. And we want to be in His glory with Him on that day. And we can be, and we will be. we obey the gospel. That's why we believe. And when that day comes, the world will be destroyed. It will be. Now, I know there's a lot of people kind of confused on this point as well, but there's no reason to be. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4, Peter talks about the Lord's coming. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? So Peter knew that it would be off in the distance. He knew that he probably wouldn't see it in his own lifetime. But he knew that day would come. He knew the day would come when the Lord returns. And when that day came, he knew that there would be people who would mock it and belittle it and dismiss it and say, oh yeah, sure, the Lord's going to come. Yeah, when's that going to happen? And Peter says, you need to understand this. The day is going to come and people will mock it and they'll dismiss it. That'll happen. But it will happen. By His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. There is a day of judgment coming. We've talked about it already. It's the day the Lord will return. And on that day, the world that's existing as it is now, it's being reserved for fire. Reserved for fire. You know, there are things that people have that is reserved for fire. It means they're to be burned. You got a pile of brush or debris. The plan is to burn it. It's not to be saved. It's not to be reformed. It's to be burned. The world is reserved for fire. Peter goes on to say, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now, I don't know how you could get any more clear than that, what's going to happen on the day the Lord comes. That's what's going to happen. Everything that you have in the world, every possession, everything everybody else has, everything that men value and think so highly of, this is what it's destined for. It's going to happen. And Peter draws the conclusion, verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. What kind of people ought we to be? We ought to be people who are looking forward to this day and not dreading it. You remember when you were a kid and it's getting close to the end of the school year and you're checking the calendar. Man, how many more days? When's summer break? Come on. That's how we ought to be for the second coming of Christ. Man, I just can't wait for it here. I can't wait. When's it going to come? Oh, I hope it comes today. I hope it comes. Let the Lord come. Let it hasten. Let it come quickly. Lord, come quickly. That's how we ought to be. Because we don't care about the stuff in this world. Oh, we have to care. We have to care for a while. But we don't really care. We want the Lord to come. We want this stuff to burn up. And it will burn up. And we know it's going to burn up. And whether we're alive or we're dead when the Lord comes, whether we were raised up or we rise up from the earth to meet Him in the air to leave this world behind and all of the stuff that men care about but we don't. That's how we ought to be looking at this. Second coming of Jesus Christ. So, the Lord is going to return. The dead will rise. Humanity will be judged. Christ will save His. But He will cast into eternal destruction those who are not His. The Lord will destroy this world. And we will go away to be with the Lord. And that's what's going to happen when the second coming. Now here's the question. that might be rising up in your mind. When's that going to happen? Don't you want to know? Because you need to be ready. You need to be ready for that day. You need to be ready right now. Right now. Before that trumpet sounds. Before the shout. Before the dead rise. And before you meet God in judgment, you need to be ready for that day. Because it's coming. And every tick of the clock brings it closer for you.